Speak to us, Lord, from your word, that we may be informed in our minds, that we might love your word from our hearts, and we may obey it in our lives, for Jesus' sake. Amen. On SBS television, on weeknights, from 6 p.m. till 6:30, is a quiz show called Mastermind. Contestants have their specialist subject to answer questions about, and in the second round, they have a general knowledge quiz. Now, I think that we Anglicans would do well to have a specialist subject about the events concerning the birth of Jesus Christ at Christmas. I want you to imagine that you are sitting in the big black chair that features on Mastermind, that I am Mark Fennell, the quizmaster, different coloured hair, and here come your quickfire specialist round questions about the birth of Jesus. If you're feeling particularly un-Anglican, call out the answers if you know them. Now, fair dinkum, Bruce. What was the name of the angel who brought the news that Mary was to have a son? What city did Mary live in at this time? What was the name of Mary's fiancé? Who was the emperor who decreed that all the world should be enrolled? Ooh. Who was the governor of Syria at this time? Pass. From which famous king of Israel was Joseph descended? To which city did Joseph and Mary travel to be enrolled? What accommodation did they find in that city? Who brought the news to the shepherds about the birth of Jesus? Ooh, good. How long after birth did a newborn Jewish boy receive his name? Pass. At what ceremony did the boy receive his name? Okay. How many other children did Joseph and Mary have at this time? Very good. To which city did Joseph and Mary travel for Jesus' redemption? Pass. What offering did Joseph and Mary make for Mary's purification after childbirth? Two pigeons. How long after giving birth was a Jewish mother able to go through the purification ceremony? 40 days. Well, there were two passes, says Mark Fennell. A Jewish boy received his name 8 days after his birth and received his name at circumcision. And then it was 40 days after giving birth that a Jewish mother could go through the rite of purification. We know an awful lot about Christmas Day. And then we're very keen to get the wise men underway. But there's stuff that happens between them and we never ever pay much attention. And I think it's a great shame. So let's talk about three ceremonies. In Jewish practice, there were two ceremonies that every Jewish newborn boy had to undergo. The first was circumcision. When he was 8 days old, a Jewish boy went through this sacred ceremony. And on that day, the small boy formally received his name. Now, Jesus' circumcision is there in our reading today from Luke chapter 2. Circumcision also made the boy a child of the covenant that God had made with Abraham thousands of years before. And circumcision made the boy one with every other Jewish male. It made him belong. It was a very old custom. Very important and revered, and it's still done today in Judaism. The Jewish name for circumcision is bris, and the man who is trained to perform it is called a mohel. The second ceremony that every Jewish firstborn boy went through was called the redemption of the firstborn. According to Jewish law, in Exodus chapter 13, every firstborn male, whether it was a firstborn human or a firstborn ox, bull, calf, was sacred to God. And according to the law, every firstborn male was given to God. If that had been carried out to the very letter of the law, it would have disrupted Jewish life no end. Every firstborn boy and every firstborn bull calf would then not be available to Jewish life. They were given over to do God's service. Do you remember the story of Samuel in the Old Testament, given back to God and lived in the temple? But there was a ceremony called the redemption of the firstborn. The parents would pay 5 shekels to the priest and buy back or redeem their son from God. The very earliest that this ceremony could be carried on was 31 days after the child was born. And that's what Joseph and Mary did. They travelled the 9 miles from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. Jesus was just over a month old. And it's there in our reading in Luke chapter 2, verse 22. These days, that ceremony is still carried out, but mostly only by ultra-Orthodox Jews. The father presents his baby boy on a silver platter to a synagogue official, symbolically giving over his son. But then the father gives to the official 5 silver coins instead of the child. And once payment is made, the child is handed back to the father and to his family. The third ceremony gone through by the mother of the new baby was called the purification after childbirth. In ancient Israel, when a woman had born a child, if it was a boy, she was regarded as being ritually unclean for 40 days. If it was a girl, for 80 days. The mother could go on about her household work and her daily business, but she could not enter the temple or the synagogue, or engage in any religious ceremony. It's all to do with ancient people's uncomfortable relationship with the natural rhythm of a woman's monthly cycles. But at the end of the time, the woman had to bring 2 kinds of offerings to the temple for a sacrifice. A lamb for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon for a sin offering. Now, I could bore the socks off you by talking about the difference between those 2 offerings. Mercifully, I won't. But a lamb was pretty expensive. You go to a butcher shop these days. And so it was a pretty expensive offering. And if a young mother and her family could not afford a lamb, she was allowed to bring a 2nd pigeon as a substitute for the lamb. And that's what Mary and Joseph brought. They brought the offering for people of restrained financial circumstances. It was called the offering of the poor. And that ceremony of purification is there in the 3rd verse of our Bible reading this morning. As I said, in the church's year, we're so keen to get the wise men galloping over the landscape into Bethlehem that we overlook these other events that happened in Jesus' infancy. 3 ceremonies, circumcision, the redemption of the firstborn, the purification after childbirth. Jesus and his parents experienced all 3 when he was 8 days old, just over a month, and just 6 weeks. These are strange old ceremonies that we don't really understand because they're not a part of our culture. But at the back of them, there is the conviction in Jewish life that a child is a gift from God, with all the child's potential, with all the child's possibilities, and all the hopes and dreams for that child. In the temple that day, there was Simeon. Dear old Simeon, who just lived in Jerusalem. and happened to go to the temple at the very same time as Mary and Joseph and their baby. He was a very devout Jewish man, and longing for the time when God would send the Messiah, as the Bible reading today called it, looking for the consolation of Israel. He saw this particular baby. He held this particular baby in his arms. And Simeon recognized in that baby all that that small child would be and do. Simeon saw in Jesus the fulfillment of God's promises to Israel, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. And Simeon blessed Mary and Joseph and the baby. Years and years later, also in Jerusalem, Jesus' disciples roused on women who were bringing their children to be blessed by Jesus. Sure, Jesus was tired, but Jesus roused back on his disciples and he said, "Let the little children come to me and don't forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God." And Mark's gospel says, Jesus took them up in his arms and blessed them. Jesus did for those children what Simeon had done for him when he was a child. One of the great privileges and one of the great challenges in life is to be a parent and to raise children. Another privilege and challenge is to interact with children as teachers, as carers, as aunts and uncles, as grandparents. In those little people, there is so much potential. There's so much promise. There's so much hope. And there is something totally satisfying about seeing our children and grandchildren develop into responsible, loving adults who play their part in society. There's something excellent about seeing our grandchildren grow and develop their characters and their personalities and their interests. The tragedy of our community is that there are so many children whose promise and potential is hindered and hurt by the way they're brought up, the way they're ignored, the way they're mistreated, and they come to expect struggle and arguments and hurt. Another tragedy of our community is there are so many children whose promise and potential is skewed by the way they're brought up, to expect privilege, to expect special treatment, to demand what they see as their rights. I read a saying the other day that said, children are great imitators, so give them something great to imitate. These days after Christmas, when frankly we forget these little details of Jesus' infant life, these days cause us to reflect on who we are as grandparents, as aunts and uncles, as mothers and fathers, as friends and role models for children, and the influence for good that we can be. And if in our family there are children who are still playing with the toys and other gifts they received at Christmas, let us also be sure that they experience the love and the kindness that caused those presents to be given. The infant Jesus and Mary and Joseph and Simeon, let them inform and colour our relationship with the children in our lives.